Well, we're going over in our teaching this morning back into Jesus Christ, the healer. We're going to turn to John, the 9th chapter. We're going to look at a specific area of healing here. In fact, John, the 9th chapter, the whole chapter is dedicated to this one incident, which we'll go through. I don't know how much we'll go through today or whatever we're going to be able to do. But we're going to look for it because there's wonderful revelation in here about healing and things we need to see. If we're going to do the ministry of Jesus, and if healing and things are done like Jesus does them, like, we need to look, well, how did Jesus, what did Jesus do in ministering to people? How did he operate? What did he do? How did the Holy Spirit use him? Do we have a different Holy Spirit today? Or we got to decide this. Is it different? Well, the church world doesn't believe that any of this exists today. You know, that there's, you know, the financial prosperity or healing and stuff doesn't. We don't have none of those things. They'll criticize you for teaching those things. They criticize in the church world today. And so there's people doing that. We can't really look at people say, well, we're supposed to live, you know, do what Jesus did. Well, that's the last thing they want you to do, because you do it, they'll make fun of you. They'll want to stone you. Because we have here with Jesus. Jesus was, in fact, in chapter 8, Jesus is in the temple. This takes place as Jesus is leaving the temple. This chapter 9. Jesus is just leaving the temple. He's leaving, going out. He just got talking to them that he was before Abraham, and they were real happy to hear that. In fact, this is an interesting thing. I don't know what did. Now, in the temple, there was the temple. They had what they called the first court, was the court of the Gentiles. Anybody could go into that area. And into that area, that's where Jesus went in and ran people out from the sting stance of selling stuff and doing things. And that was a place where the rabbis or teachers, they would go in there and hold classes. And people would go sit and listen to different people teaching that. Jesus would go into that area and teach when he was there. Well, Jesus was in there talking, and they were real excited about it. And I don't know where they got it, but they wanted to stone him. It says they picked up rocks. It's a funny thing. Do you have rocks laying around your church? Some churches do. But do you? I thought, where do you get stones in the temple laying around to stone a guy? Did you bring them in? And he piles here. Okay, somebody says, but I don't like. They're getting it. I mean, that's an odd thing to me. I mean, it's like, this is the temple. Wouldn't you think that'd be you'd walk in, it's this nice place in there. They don't have, no, we got rocks over here you can throw. They were charging for them. Bag of rocks, $5.95. I don't know, but it seemed crazy to me. Well, they get rocks in the temple. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, religious people do crazy things. I don't know. So anyhow. But Jesus is heading out of the temple, and this is concerning. This is when the disciples ask the question, because Jesus is leaving the temple, going out. And then it starts off here with this. And in John 9, in verse 1, says, now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. He saw this guy, and it says, and the disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was blind? Well, they're asking a question. Now, Jesus answered, said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must do the works of him who sent me. While it is day, the night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, I want you to see this. Where did disciples get the idea? Well, the idea was this of teaching. The Pharisees looked at the people who were poor, destitute, and everything like that, that they were in that condition because they were spiritually small, messed up. That's what's wrong with them. In other words, the Pharisees looked at themselves. See, they followed the law. They were meticulous about those. See, we do all the law, so we're righteous. We're so perfect. And everybody else, in fact, if you read the history of that period and you study history, you find out the majority of the people were poor. That's why the Pharisees looked down on people. They just, you know, this is why Jesus was so hard on these guys. You know, you know what? You can't be fluffy around religious people. You know, they need hit on the head to get their attention before you can talk to them. That's the way they are. They ain't going to listen. You know, religious people, everybody else is beneath them. Nobody else is worth, that's just religious people. We got the system and you don't. This is why they hated Jesus, because number one, Jesus preached the gospel of the poor. He was good to the poor. He healed the poor. Well, you know, that could, if he was going to do anything good, he'd be at our church, you know. That's the attitude. I saw that back. I remember when I came in the kingdom and I saw that. The spirit-filled groups got all upset because God showed up in the Catholics and the Presbyterian churches and stuff. People started getting born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. They didn't like it. They would say, hey, they didn't believe it was really God because he ain't coming to our church. If it was really God, because see, we got our I's dotted and our T's crossed. We're so spiritual. God couldn't do that, go over there to that group. You know, I had a guy who, you know, was supposed to graduate in the cemetery. He told me seminary, it was a cemetery, but must have been dead because he said, God won't heal a sinner. I mean, I never heard this so stupid in my life. You know, think, you know, do you ever read the Bible? No. We religiously teach things and we go around and say stuff. And we need to be careful about these things of what we do. So Jesus comes out. Now they just want to kill him. What does he do? He goes out to heal a guy. Boy, I bet that irritated him. But we can find out the discourse because the people that wanted to stone him now are going to have to deal with this thing and they ain't happy. So, but he's there. Now, we want to look at what's said. They said, well, has this guy sinned or his parents? In other words, they look at the fact of lots of the teaching of the Jews. You, these people, something happened to you because you did something bad. You need to understand, a person can have a problem because of sin. A Christian today can have a problem because of sin. There can have health problems living in because of sin. We have at that time, there were people, we have in John the 5th chapter, Jesus went to the pool of Bethesda. And there was a guy there that he healed, got up, took his cloth. Jesus saw him later and said to him, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come on you. In other words, sin had to do with his sickness, why he was sick. This is one thing you need to know as a Christian. You need to know this. See, some people walking around confessing, it ain't going to change or something they have to change about their life. Why? Because of your own faith. You can't have your conscience clear before God in your faith living in sin. Amen. Your faith won't work. It ain't about God. It's about our faith. See, if I'm not doing right, the Bible says if we are not sinning, we have confidence toward Him. But if you're living sin, if you're doing wrong, you can't have confidence toward Him. Amen. We lose confidence. See, and this is the thing. We want to get things right. In fact, you know, because we do have that guy at the pool of Bethesda where God told him sin was a problem. But now that's not with everything. We need to understand this is we got to look, you know, at the whole picture. There can be people in that condition. There's people that have trouble because of their, it could be a Christian, number one, lack of faith. You know, devil can attack you because you don't walk in faith. You know, you go to a church that teaches God don't want to heal. You ain't believing God to get healed. There's an open door to the devil to do things. And it's not going to change. See, faith can be a problem. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Places that don't teach on the areas of healing, people don't have faith. So it opens the door to devil. Also, you need to know this. You're living in a fallen world. And the devil will try to attack you. And you need to know and you need to learn how to stop the attacks. You need to learn how to do that. Again, that's dealing with the areas of faith. But you're living in, you may not do a thing wrong. You might be doing everything right. I mean, Paul's going preaching the gospel, getting stoned, getting beat with sticks, all kind of things coming against him. It wasn't because he was doing bad, he was doing good. But he's living in a fallen world. You're living in a fallen world. And you need to know that. So things may come from that standpoint. But you know what? You need to learn to listen. Christians, we need to know this. We need to listen to our own spirit. That's why when I tell the story, when I had my blood clot in my lung, you know, for a period of time, I could control that pain. But all of a sudden, man, I think I just couldn't get a hold of it anymore. And I said, Lord, what do I need to do? He said, you know what you need to do. And so you got to listen on the inside. Because on the inside, I had a sense. I ought to go into the emergency room. Something's happening here. And I had that sense. But you know, I get over there standing. But when I went in the emergency room, I didn't just confess and believe God. You know, one of the things that I did, I got, number one, when you're in so much pain, you can't have trouble hearing God. You need to get yourself quiet. You need to do that. Lots of times that's why Christians never get quiet. They never do anything. They never hear from God what's going on. Number one, I knew I had to get quiet. And we got in the emergency room and Wanda and I were sitting there and there was a couple, there's a nurse and I think some kind of technician and a doctor and they're going through things and stuff. And I was just thinking, oh, man, I got to get them out of here. I got to get things quiet. I want to hear. Number one, because this is what I did. I sat there and said, Lord, did I miss it somewhere that allowed this to happen? Have I done something wrong? Do you ever do that when you get sick, or you just start making some kind of confession? See, people don't do that. See, you know why? Because we're trained a lot of people got trained from like watching a TV minister talk about healing stuff. And they talk about it on a level like you just confess, you just believe God. They don't teach the whole story 99% of the time. You don't turn them on there and they tell you all the reasons why you're sick and can't get healed. How many times you turn on and see that priest? See, the church ain't supposed to do crusade preaching. That's what we're not called to do. That's what most people want, because the people they follow are all crusade preachers. Brother Hagin told us about that. He said, when I hold crusades, he said, you can't come to crusade and you're not going to heal the whole story. He said, the pastors are supposed to be preaching that in the church. Well, churches don't do that. Why? People like the crusade. That's what I want to hear. That's the itching ear people. They just want to hear crusade preaching. Tell me I'm okay. We're going to get in, just make a confession. Put the dollar in there. We're going to, woohoo! We're out the door. We're going to go get it. Ah! Come out of there on fire. And 3 days later, the devil's eating your lunch. Oh, I've seen people do that. I've seen people leave crusades shouting and screaming, and 2 days later, man, they're hitting the bottom of the barrel. The barrel's on them. Because you have to have more than crusade preaching. You know, you have to. Why can the devil put the barrel on me? Why can he? How, what's happened here? What's going on? You know, this is why we have to have this. They're not doing wrong. God has them doing a certain thing, but people like. Only tell me I'm pretty. Only tell me I'm good, you know. Only tell me. Don't tell me what I really look like in the mirror. You know? Were there a mirror on the wall? Who's the fairest one of all? And it's got to be me. And if that mirror says anything else, it's gone. This is why a lot of Christians don't like reading the Bible. I'm just telling you the truth. They don't like what they see in it.
Amen. Preach.
It makes them nervous. And if you ever got nervous reading the Bible, you ain't ever read it. Because I've read it already. It made me feel nervous. I think, dear God, I need to repent now. All revelations ain't these sweet little things that make you want to. Oh, I tell you, I just feel so full of fire today. Sometimes you see things that make you mourn. Never hurt us either. Hallelujah. Praise God. But you know what? It's to build us up. It's to strengthen us. It's so we can have the blessing we desire. That's what it's for. So we want to see this. So there are reasons and that stuff. Lots of times with people, though, I'm just going to say this, is lots of times with people, even among the faith people, the reason they're not getting healed, they don't know how to walk in faith. They're really not paying attention. They're not paying attention about. They can quote you the scriptures, but can't get it. And the biggest problem is the area of acting on the words, like Mike talked about this morning, is acting on. And one of the reasons I give money, I confess about it, by faith I receive, but my giving is my action of my faith. It's proving, you know? I confess a ton of money, but if I'm fearful to give more than a little bit, that just diminished my faith. I can make all the big confessions of loads of money coming, but I'm afraid to give away. That's a good sign you didn't believe anything was coming. See, your actions will either put your faith over, or it'll put it under, one way or the other. Your actions will. And this is what I see. People just don't have the actions. I'm just going to tell this. The level of your actions are going to determine more about your faith than your confession. I'm just telling you that. I don't not confess. I believe in the confession stuff, but you better have it. There's one thing I see. The Lord commended me just some years ago here about my actions. He commended me on them because he said, you do radical things. You do radical actions. That's why he said, you've seen miraculous miracles take place. It's just like that when I was sitting in there and I said to the Lord, Lord, have I missed it any place? I got the doctors in, finally left the room and everybody, and I said to Wanda, I gotta be able to hear the Lord. There's something I need to do. I want to know it. See that we do it? No, we're so loud with our confessions and our believings and our praying, we ain't listening. Amen. You know, when trouble's there, I'm not interested what you got to say unless it came from God. I want to hear, I was in trouble. I want to hear the commander in chief. I want to hear the guy that knows it all. I want to hear. And I was sitting there and I said, I got to hear from God. So I said, I just want to get quiet. And I had pain, man, it's going on. But I'm turned to the inside, I was listening there. And I just said to the Lord, Lord, is there anything I need to know or whatever? And the Lord said to me, don't be concerned, everything's okay. And boy, when he said that, I looked up at Wanda and I said, everything's all right, I got this thing. See, now I can turn my faith up full blast. And in 20 minutes, I'm sitting there feeling just good. Hallelujah. See, the word came. Faith comes by hearing the word. When I heard the Lord talk to me, it's like, I got this thing. This fight is over. I have it.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Then they didn't know what to do with me. Hallelujah. Praise God. But, see, it's one thing, and I want you to get a hold of this because, years past, that was a big thing for people to get a hold of God. And we've lost a lot of that today. We were taught confession. It's correct for confessions, right? It's a wonderful, powerful thing. But it ain't the whole ball of wax.
Amen.
It isn't everything. It's part of it, you know? It's a wonderful tool to start off on your faith, saying the right thing, saying the right thing. Some people are trying to say the right thing, trying to get in faith, trying to change something that ain't even faith yet. They need to be confessed until they get to the point they believe it, then say a real confession of faith that releases, hallelujah, that you believe you got something, you're not trying to get it. As long as you're trying to get your healing, you're not in faith yet. We're not trying to get it. Hallelujah. See, we got to change those are things of faith. See, we're dealing here in the areas of faith concerning these things. And that's why these wonderful things here, because we're going to see something that Jesus does. We'll talk about it then. But first of all, we have here where Jesus, they ask him the question. He said, neither this man nor his parents seen. He said, sin. But the works of God should be revealed in him. He said, the works of God should be revealed in him. Now people take out and say, well see, God had him blind. Because he says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night's coming, no man work. Now, I want you to see this because this is something we need to, well, if God made him sick, then the works of God are already going on in him and Jesus lied. If God made him sick, then that's God's work, isn't it? Then Jesus said, oh, we've got to do the works of God in him. Say, Jesus, you're going to go against your father who did that work in him? Remember, we studied about the kingdom divided against itself. Jesus said it himself. The kingdom divided itself, divided against itself. It can't stand.
Amen.
They said he cast out devils by devils. He's the devil casting the devil out. Jesus said, that can't be. The devil don't cast out the devil. Is Jesus going to cast the work of God out of this man? Well, the church preaches it. I'm going to tell you, I've heard faith people even go, well, this is like a hard one for them. It ain't hard. It's because they try to live by just one scripture. You can't do it. You can't use what is said here and make a doctrine. The rest of the Bible, you got to ask, when you put the other scriptures to it, it don't add up. You can't do that. Jesus said, is Jesus God? He said, he sent the word. The Father sent. Whatever you see me do, Dad's doing. This is what Dad does. Well, Jesus would have been the biggest fraud in the world. If Jesus never made a man sick, which we never find he ever did, he never showed us what Dad was like. Jesus was a downright liar and a fraud. He was the devil incarnated. Well, he wasn't. You know, just... people don't take scripture and compare with scripture and turn around and make a picture. They try to make a picture out of one piece of puzzle. That's not what we're called to do. We compare scripture with scripture. Jesus is going to do the work of God in him. Jesus said, I don't do anything I don't see the Father do. Well, the Father was in the healing business here, it sounds like. Was he in the making guys sick? If I was that guy, Jesus said it, said God did that because this guy's like this from his birth. For 40 years, I'd have said, God, I'll never talk to you again. You put this on me for 40 years that I was from a kid and I ain't done nothing wrong. And you cursed my life. You did. You made my life a curse. Well, isn't that the curse of life? Wouldn't I know what the curse is? So God was a curse giver. This whole thing's a lie. God's the curse giver. Hallelujah. Some people might have that God, but that ain't mine. Hallelujah. My God's good all the time. He don't make you sick to heal you. Hallelujah. We've done good enough without him. We didn't have to have him. We messed up enough to let the devil in. All I know is my God is he's my deliverer. And he even delivers me from stupid. And sometimes I'm the stupid. Hallelujah. But he's my deliverer. Glory to God. He's not my problem. And see, we need to clear this up. See, if you read these things and you put questions in your mind, you can't operate in faith. You got a question. Until that question's cleared, it's just like me. I'd get that question cleared. Did I miss it anywhere? Mm-hmm. Have you got your questions cleared? If you haven't, you can fake the faith stuff, but it's fake. You got to be settled that God wants you to have whatever you believe. That he gave that to you, that it belongs to you, it's yours. See, faith believes it's already given. If you're trying to get it, forget it. You haven't believed yet. You're still in hope. You're hoping you can get it. No, I have it, it's mine. I don't have questions about it. Oh, my mind will go off and things, but in my heart, it's settled, I know it. When I know it's mine, when I was sitting here, my body's saying one thing, but all of a sudden, on the inside, revelation went off. God's word was spoken. Hallelujah. And I said, tell me not to worry. It's mine. I knew it. I said, I got it. I got this thing. I got it. It's mine now. I have it. See, that settled it. See, now faith is rock solid. I know where I'm standing. There's nothing I've done. There's a hindrance or anything. I don't want anything. I want to know it's clear. Hallelujah. And once I found out the coast is clear, man, I'm okay. The fight's on. The devil ain't got a chance. He don't have a chance. Amen. If a person is standing in true faith, the devil can't defeat him. It's impossible. Amen. Can't. It's an impossibility. If it's possible, then God's word can fail. But see, I got to know that I know I'm standing where I'm supposed to be standing. I can quote the scriptures. I can go through. That does not mean I'm in faith. Because I know what you need to have faith doesn't mean that I'm in faith. See, we got to go. It's about your... When I know I have it, then everything changes. When I know I got it, hallelujah, it belongs to me. Glory to God. She's like, we're talking, you know, Mike was about the areas of giving. See, I know I can give because, man, I know I can. God will give to Ed. God will send lunch money to Ed. I tell you what, he'll send stuff to me. I know it. I have no fear about giving. I don't have fear. God's had Wanda and I give large sums of money away. And you know what? I had no fear. No. Once I know that inside of me, that's God wants me to do, I'm standing, that's it. We're doing it. Why? Hallelujah. If he doesn't supply to me, he's the biggest fool there is. I'm a guy, listen to him. About money. What a nut he'd be. God's not a nut. You don't have to be afraid about giving. You never have to fear. Amen. Hallelujah. You don't have to be afraid. He'll supply your need. Hallelujah. He'll take care of you. He ain't trying to steal from you. He's trying to give to you.
Hallelujah.
He's not. Hallelujah. On my giving and Wanda and I's giving over the years has nothing but raised the amount of money we have.
Amen.
We haven't lost nothing. We never lost a thing. Glory to God. God is good. Hallelujah. He don't have to take. He don't need your lunch money.
Amen.
He's up in heaven. There ain't nothing hinders up there. What are you going to send him? And anyhow, the postal service don't deliver there anyhow. Ha! All heaven wants is your faith.
Amen.
That's what it wants. That's how God blesses in the earth. He's not trying to, he wants your faith because he can bless.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm preaching me happy. I'll tell you what, I might take an offering here in a minute. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. But we want to look at this because Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, he said, I'm the light of the world. You know, in 1 John in 1:5, it says, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light and there's no darkness in him at all.
Amen.
Was blindness in that man light or darkness? You see, lightness and darkness is talked about there. If God is light, there's no darkness in him at all. How did darkness get in that man from God? I want to know how that happened. If God made that man sick, then there is darkness in God. And then this scripture is a lie.
Right.
So you'll never convince me. See, that's why you can't just base truth just one scripture here and just take it. Because you can make things say whatever you like them to say. And when people read that, oh, they're saying that. It don't say that. You need to understand this. Translators in the Bible translate the New Testament from Greek to, like we have from Greek to English. The Greek language has no punctuation. It's all capital letters. So when you read it, there's not like sense. You read the whole thing, and when people interpret, they interpret to where they decide where the exclamation and the period and all this kind of stuff. They decide where all that goes. And there's one thing of it is there's things interpreted in the Bible that I can look at that the way that they translated and how they made the sentence, they stopped a sentence when it should have never been stopped. And then we turn around and people fall for the things because when they started making verses for study and they started putting numbers, we just read by numbers. We just read by verses. And that was one thing, like Brother Hagin said, you could pull verses out of the Bible, you pull them out of context and say things and make them say things they don't. This is why. See, you need to, we study the Bible by the Holy Ghost. You got to know, I don't care how much you read through the Bible during the year and you have to do that. The Holy Ghost is a revealer of the Bible. And no more than you can hook up with the Holy Ghost will you ever know about the Bible. He's the revealer. It isn't just come by reading. If it came by reading, anybody could read it and get it. Well, dear Lord, don't we know that? Does that work? My God, it don't work. Hallelujah. It's the revealer. It's the Holy Spirit. That's the great, to me, the greatest gift God ever gave, the Holy Spirit to us. My God, what a phenomenal thing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have the mind of Christ living in us.
Amen.
It's a living being, the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
You have a mind. It's just like having a computer and have all the knowledge of God. That's what all the knowledge of God, and it's a living computer. It's like God. Woo! Living in you. Man, what do you have in you? The riches and the treasure, the glory that's in you. Woo! Everybody's trying to get glory. My God, there's so much glory in us. It is phenomenal. But you know what we want? We don't want God's glory. We want a feeling. Give me a goosebump, God. Then I think I got something. Give me a good feeling about this. You know how I get in good feelings? I start saying what the Bible says. Just like here. I get a great feeling when I start saying this stuff. See, if you keep waiting for a feeling to feel good, forget it. It's like I say, you got to be your own cheerleader. If you can't make you feel good, quit trying to get other people to do it. Because it ain't going to work. You're going to need them around you, patting you all the time. And that don't work.
Amen.
Because you're going to get in trouble and there'll be nobody. Just like Jesus. Excuse me, but we're picking rocks up today. This is a rock throwing day. Have you ever been in one of those?
Amen.
You're doing your best, but there's those rock throwers there. They're going to...
Amen.
Yeah. Hallelujah. We've had some experiences we could preach, couldn't we?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, it does look like on this thing here that Jesus, that this man didn't go to Jesus. Jesus went to the man. Jesus goes to this man. And understand this. Sometimes, we talked about it before, sometimes God initiates healing. Sometimes He does. We don't have all the time. In fact, we have these personal things. But we want to see what happens here because this is important. Even though God is initiating this healing, we want to understand this is not going to be a gift of healing goes into operation. That's not what happens. We want to see it. We want to look at this. See, the gift of healing, nobody, let me say this again and get this in your mind. No one, Benny Hinn or nobody, I don't care who they are, has gifts of healing. They don't have them. No person has them. Gifts of healing operate as the Spirit wills. Nobody has them. It's just like, you know, people, I deal with a guy because, you know, they got over in this thing about tongues and interpret. Like they can speak in tongues anytime and interpret. I'm sorry, the gift of tongues and interpretation don't operate by me. When the Spirit moves through me to speak in tongues, as from tongues and interpretation, that's a gift of the Spirit as He wills. I don't initiate that. I am not the initiator. The Holy Spirit is. You don't have any gifts like that. God may use you in certain ways or do things, and at times gifts may operate. You know, God anoints sometimes with special anointings to heal. But a person must operate in faith for that to work. A gift of healing goes into operation. You don't have to believe nothing. A gift of healing goes into operation. A person can heal whether they believe in anything or not. That's why when you go to the people go to these services, they wonder why. Because sometimes, like, I've watched any, with Brother Hagin or any of those people, had special anointings by God to heal. Those people operate under that special anointing. You still have to operate in faith to get that anointing to work for you. Now, that anointing is wonderful to be around because you'll see from that anointing will cause things to happen faster than lots of times things happen, even sometimes in our just believing ourselves. Can make things happen quicker because of that anointing. But you're going to have to respond to that anointing by faith. The church knows very little about how things work. They throw everything. Well, gifts of healing. This guy got a gift of healing. That guy. No, we don't. Nobody has those gifts. They operate as the Spirit wills. So this is a bad part about it. You're going to have to know the Spirit. And people don't learn to know. So they don't know when God is enacting something. They don't know when God's moving in an area. They don't know. They're not sure. You know, I sat under a pastor who God wanted to use him a lot in the healing ministry. And especially the anointing would come on him to heal, but he wouldn't yield to it. Talk to him one time. He told me, because I said to him, yeah, he said, sometimes it comes on me. He said, I feel it. He said, it's like electric fluid. I said, well, why don't you call people up? Well, I don't know. If God wants me to, He'll talk to me. I thought, dear, read the Bible. Get up, you know. Here, God's wanting to, and he's wanting to pray. They want to move the Spirit in the church. And he's the dam. Well, don't make mad at him. Christians do it all the time. Spirit-filled people. God's moving on them to do something they won't. Da, 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 you know? Rose got the rock. If you ain't ever been a dam, you lied, so get over yourself. There's times the Spirit moves on us and we don't respond to it. Hallelujah. Sometimes we can do it out of ignorance, but you know, I found that sometimes people just won't move into an area. They're just not going to. They don't like that. They are not going to move into it. They're not going to do it. And God may try to get them to move in that area for a period of time, may try, but after a while He'll quit. The Holy Spirit will stop when you just keep ignoring and putting it off. And after a while, you may not see it until you come and repent and admit that you've been disobedient. You may never see it ever try to operate through you again.
Amen.
Just telling you.
Amen.
So, sometimes we do it in ignorance. We don't know. We don't understand. We don't know what's going on. I've learned, see, I'm a questioner. Something comes, I don't understand. Oh, God, what's this? What are you trying to do? I don't get it. Let me know. Tell me, what is this? See, we don't, many times we just walk right by it. Well, I didn't understand. Well, maybe it's just me. Maybe it was this. Maybe it was that. We don't stop and ask God a question about it. And then we go pray, God, we need a move of the Spirit. God, I want you to move on somebody. And He's thinking, boy, I wish I could get you to move. If He's never talked to you that way, you've never really prayed in your life.
Amen.
I'm just telling you. He discusses things with me about me sometimes. He don't always tickle Ed's ear.
Amen.
But I know he discusses it with me because he wants to do something. And you know what? My heart is to do his will.
Hallelujah.
That's what I want to know.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And he ain't telling me because he wants to throw me on the bus or he wants to get... No, he's not doing that. Hallelujah. I want to move with God, but I don't want to be a dam in the road that stops the move of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. So we just keep walking by faith and not by sight. So we need to understand this. Like the guy at the pool of Bethesda was a guy there that God completely initiated that healing because that man didn't know who Jesus was. He knew nothing. It was completely initiated by God. See, why does God tell you? Who does he choose? I don't know. He doesn't discuss things with me sometimes. It happened. And you know what? God won't discuss certain things with you. You know what? He just wants you to walk in faith with what you know.
Amen.
And what's there's some things that ain't none of your business. When it comes down with certain people and certain things, and we don't, you know, it's none of our business. You know, the secret things belong to the Lord.
Amen.
There's things that belong to God. God won't talk to us about those things. That's as we walk with faith. Why did he choose that guy? I don't know. Could have been people were praying for him and praying and asking God to move and God in his kindness moved concerning. Could be, but I don't know that. See, why did he do what he did? Well, hallelujah. God's wise knows everything. And the last time I checked, Ed doesn't. Ed's not all wisdom and I surely don't know everything. Hallelujah. I'm just glad I know how to get out of bed in the morning. I'm just... I'm excited about that. Hallelujah. Well, back over to John again, the 9th chapter, verse 6, it says, when he had said this thing, he spat on the ground and made clay with saliva and anointed the man's eye, the eyes of the blind man with the clay or the mud, whatever you want to call it. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Now we need to get a hold of this. We need to see really what God's doing. This is an interesting thing because here's a guy that's blind. Jesus, now we have in one instance where it says that Jesus spit in a man's eyes. But I mean, this is not like say the well-known. They didn't have, this didn't go on TV and then people say, hey, Jesus spit some people's eyes. And anybody else would know this. You know, we don't have that. So Jesus comes on the guy, he makes mud out of some spit and puts it on the guy's eyes. Now, could you imagine if a preacher did that today? And nice, clean... Hey, don't laugh. If a preacher did that to you, what would you do? What if I do that to you? Many people won't get healed, but it's going to be like Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. It's going to be like I want it. Jesus, I'm going to tell you what. That has stopped more moves of God because of people's own ideas and what they want. Brother Hagin used to do this every once in a while at a meeting, and I know he was led by the Spirit. And many people didn't get healed because of this. God wanted to heal, but he's not going to. Kenneth Hagin come down, and he's going to minister people healed. And he said, the Lord just spoke to me. I'm supposed to ask so-and-so. And he would call one of the people out of his, the singing group, or one of them was with him. He'd say, God wants you to lay hands on the people tonight. There's people would not come down for healing because they wanted Brother Hagin. That happens all the time in big meetings. If it ain't the right guy. Because why? Loads of Christians ain't got no faith in Jesus. They're following men.
Amen. Preach.
I've heard Brother Hagin told us this. He said, many of these people, he said, they walk close with me. He said, here in ministry, he said, they got the same healing anointing I do. But dumb people don't know. Dumb people follow men rather than following God. They're more interested in who laid hands on them than the Lord healing them.
Amen.
I'm going to get it because of that man. You ain't going to glorify men and make the Holy Ghost happy at all. Here's sort of a good story along that line. Brother Hagin had a minister come to him and tell him this story. And he related it, which I thought was really good. This is back many years ago. But there was a move of God went on and started in this town, in this one church. And this church has started there. This move of God started. They had this guy came and hold some meetings, and the they were having numbers of people getting saved. And back yonder, you know, people didn't. This guy in one night would get hundreds of people filled with the Holy Ghost. That Brother Hagin said in those days, if you had a meeting and you got two or three filled with the Holy Ghost, they thought that was a landslide. Back in those days, and he said this guy comes in and there's hundreds of people getting filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, people getting saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. This is a phenomenal thing. So this is going on for a while in the town. And this one preacher, part of the denomination, there's a group in a denomination in that city was large enough to have there was a few churches. And these ministers, you know, they were sort of like, well, this guy isn't with our group and they're not quite as spiritual as we are. So they're sort of hold off on this thing. And so finally he said, you know, we had people in our church. He said, see, they used to believe in this, and they would do is about, if you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you would tarry. And they would go to the altar and tarry. They didn't know about you could just believe God and get filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, you could just believe God. I mean, I heard Brother Hagin. I listened to a tape of his and on being filled with the Holy Ghost, went into my bedroom and said, praise God, I believe I received the Holy Ghost. I've been talking in tongues ever since. I mean, I heard a message, heard faith. I thought, you know, you got somebody lay hands on my head. I can believe I receive it. And, you know, so, you know, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. But anyhow, they would tarry. So anyhow, he had a numbers of people in his church. And so that would tarry for the Holy Ghost that hadn't been filled for years. These people would do this for years, 10, 50, you know, people 20 years didn't get filled with the Holy Ghost. They'd go to the altar all the time and tarry. They'd do that then. See, that seems strange to us, but you understand the teaching of the time. You know, and so, but anyhow, like Brother Hagin said, he said, I would come in. He said, I know you could get filled with the Spirit, but he said, you don't go into churches and just change things. He said, they'll throw you out. They would throw you out if you went there and told them you lay hands. He said, when I started getting people filled with the Holy Ghost, he said, it shook things up in people's church. He said, I'd call people up, get every one of them filled with the Holy Ghost right away. And they didn't know what to think of it because they didn't know if it was God or the devil or what. Well, they didn't know. They weren't taught. People didn't teach people things. It's like the untaught church today. We have so much untaught of the church today. We're trying to have a move of God, not teaching anything. It ain't going to happen. People don't know what to do. You know? And so anyhow, this minister said, I finally thought, well, I'm just going to swallow my pride. I'm going around that meeting. And he took 14 of his people who had been chronic seekers of the Holy Ghost. And he went down that meeting, went up when that guy called him, and everyone got filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And he said, I got with these other ministers. He said, because this just threw me. And he said, how can this be? Could this be God? You know, listen, they didn't know. But their big problem was this. This church wasn't as sanctified as they were. So he got before God. And he said, he began to fast and pray. In fact, he fasted, prayed for 3 days. And he said on the third day, because he asked God, God, how come you're down there moving in that church, our church? We're just so clean and we're just so good and we're just so wonderful over here. On the third day, the Lord spoke to him and said, I couldn't have it in your church because I had it down there because they gave me all the glory. He said, you can't, you won't. He said, you tell people who moved here because you're so good. Oh, there's a lot of that today. God's going to know because we know everything about the Bible. So God's going to move because we're smart. Ain't no faith in that. That is big-headed ego. And people call it faith. God don't move because I know everything. Amen. Jesus ain't coming back to the church. This is when the church gets straightened out, Jesus comes back. Jesus is coming back whether you get straightened out or not. Amen. This arrogance that's taught, this thing that's taught, but when we all get fixed, Jesus has got to come back for the imperfect. Hey, hallelujah. He'll take me as quick as you. This isn't some, hallelujah. We got to get, that's one of the things is, you know, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He'll exalt you. The church can't be exalted because there's too much pride in the church. Too much pride. Men's pride. No. Hallelujah. We got to humble ourselves. He's God and I'm not. I don't have wisdom without Him. Amen. Without Him, I can do nothing. It's not a nice saying. It's the truth. We should have surely figured some of these things out. Hallelujah. I don't care where he moves. Just move. I don't care who you pay. I don't care if it's the guys down the bar down here. My God, to get a move of God, let's have it. Dear Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody gets blessed. Wonder if it's a devil. How stupid can the church get? But that's the ignorance of the church today. You know, the faith people call themselves, oh, trust, we're trusting God. All we do is criticize. We listen to the guys who criticize the bad economy all the time and talk, well, we're going under. We're doing it. I ain't going under. I ain't talking that junk. Amen. I'm not confessing the bad. But that's what the so-called, you know, these righteous people that are conservatives and keep criticizing, well, Biden's going to put the place under. He can try all he wants, but he ain't putting me under. I'm not going to confess America's going under. America got enough trouble without the church and their stupid big mouths. Listen to these conservative talk show hosts. I don't need no more junk talked.
Amen. Preach.
I ain't going with them on the thing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Why are we praying if God ain't here in the church? What do we pray for the nation for? Why would we pray for the economy if we, Biden's going to run it. We got to get another man in. It'll fix it. I'm going to just tell you, if Trump gets in office, there's going to be all hell breaking loose. You think it's going to bring the nation together? My God, you need another drink. Because you know him. He's the bull in the China closet. He's going to head contrary to what all these other people like. And it's going to be the same fight all over. But hey, I'm in for a good fight. Hallelujah. Because I know whose side I'm on. And it ain't Trump's.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
I'm in a fight that I've already been declared the winner.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The champion done knocked him out for me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We need to get more confessing about the champion and confessing about the problems. God's well able to turn the economy around. God's well able to hold up this astronaut. Look, I remember when George H.W. Bush, you know, we talk about George President. Remember when his dad became president? I don't know how many of you remember him when his dad was president. Christians were writing books, 700 cup. He wrote a book, how the nation's going to go under. They can't stop. The economy is so bad. Our debt was so great that our economy couldn't stand. They preached that it wouldn't make it another year. America was going under. Yeah. 700 Club made millions and millions and millions of dollars selling books, saying those things. But you know what? They didn't know God. Oh, it wasn't why they weren't saving. They didn't know God. They never talked to God about it. That year, in July, in November, the election's coming up. I'm sitting in camp meeting in July, the third week of July of that year. And Brother Hagin's up front preaching, and all of a sudden he just stops cold. And he just stands there. And you know, something's going to happen. All of a sudden he just freezes, just stops. And he's standing there, and he's talking to air. There's nobody there, but he's talking to somebody. And then he turned around to the people and said this. He turns around and says, he said, the angel of the Lord just appeared to me and said to me, don't worry about the economy. He said, my people prayed. And he said, everything's going to be fine. Well, there's been numbers of preachers preaching death to America. There's numbers of preachers. It's all going to go under. I'll tell you what, when the church leaves, you can guarantee this, it will. But see, we need to make a stand. There's been too much said. We're listening to too many things said and not making confessions. I want God's opinion. I don't care what some conservative pundit said.
Amen.
What's God saying? Can I have my voice in this, or we can only have man's voice? Can we only have politicians' voices in here? Can we only have these certain people with voice? I'm sorry, got to watch what you say about the country.
Mm-hmm.
Why pray and then confess it's going under? Why pray? See, we got to stop this thing. These people are always talking about the bad, the bad, the bad. God upheld the economy. And then while we were standing, he went back to preaching again, stopped again. Because that election, they said, you know, it was going to be determined, whichever way things were going to go, and they were saying this stuff. And see, people were over making, Christians making confessions. But somebody was listening to God. Because the Lord, the angel showed up again, second time. So this is round two. And says, don't worry about the presidential election. The man I want will get in. Well, see, I'll tell you, that'll bless you from there on out. See, never, you don't worry about the election then. You're not going through all the political hoops that men are going through and listening to all the conservatives and the liberals jabbering back and forth at each other, doing all their predictions and all their stuff. You don't have to worry about that anymore. I heard from heaven. Let's go back to that. What do you think? Let's go back to hearing from heaven again. That's who I want to hear. I want to know what God has to say on the subject. I've done heard how many other people and their voices about how wonderful and smart they are. I've heard it all. I've come around to think there's only one voice I'd like to hear in this thing. And we need to stop so we hear that voice. We need to start confessing. God will listen to the church. And the whole church ain't going to yell to God about the right thing. But I'm going to tell you what. There are enough people that get in the right mode here. I believe we can turn some things around.
Amen.
The devil shouldn't be able to be pushing as far in this nation as he is. And he has been because of the church. They won't quit confessing the wrong stuff. Now, people who know nothing about confession, but they're confessing the wrong things, and they're Christians, they're using their spiritual power to set in motion to help the devil complete his work. Hallelujah. See, I know what our president does sounds crazy, but there is a higher authority. It's not Ed. But you know what? I do have an authority he don't have. I have a connection with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Hallelujah.
I have a connection with the God of heaven and earth.
Amen.
And our president don't. So somebody's got to stand in. And it can't be just criticizing him. Because you know what? He's been crazy and, I mean, nutty as a fruitcake. But talking about this, is that going to change anything?
No.
No. But I'll tell you what. All things are possible to him that believeth.
Amen.
Jesus said that. Woo-wee!
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. We can turn things around.
Praise God.
We don't need a crowd. We need somebody with faith. We need somebody that's going to trust Jesus.
Amen.
And you can do that. You can do that. You can do that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, I don't believe the church believes that thing of, well, if God could find a man. They don't believe that. They think it takes a crowd. The preachers that say that, get up and preach. You know, God, he could just find, if one man would have stood. Now, if we can get a crowd to pray, if we can get enough people to pray. You see, preaching gets a little strange. Preaching gets, when I hear people do that, I think, you don't really believe that verse. This has become things, cliches that we say to inspire people. No, I'm going to tell you what. You have a connection with the God of heaven and earth.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. He didn't say, now if you guys get together, all of you get, and then, you know, and if you fast and pray long enough, and maybe, you know, you stand on your head in the closet for a while. Or you do something, you know, we'll get this thing working. Hallelujah. See, let's come back and pick up on these things. Glory to God. But here we have in the areas of faith. See, we got over there. I know we got off on this, but we're getting on faith. It's interesting about this man is from this standpoint. I know this is not a gift of the Spirit in operation. Because he's not instantly getting healed. It's not like the guy pulls out on. That's a gift of the Spirit in operation. That guy's not operating faith at all. God moves this man to operate in faith. He puts mud on his eyes and then says, go down there to the pool and wash them off. This guy has to make an action. Does that sound practical to you? Does that sound logical to you? Does that sound? No. This is one thing. Faith many times is not logical. And this is why people say they're walking by faith, but they're following logic. There is no such thing in the faith world as common sense. There's no such thing. Is this common sense going on here? There's no such thing in the faith world as common sense. Man, I had to learn that. See, it didn't make any sense to me the first time. I'm asking the Lord, how do I act in faith? And here I am, man, I'm feeling bad. And he tells me, he said, if you believe you're healed, get up back like it. Now, is that common sense? No, our common sense is this. Well, then you lay in bed, you drink a lot of liquids and that stuff till you feel better. That's common sense. You know, eat some chicken soup. Common sense. Common sense is you rest and get good sleep and then you'll feel better. The average Christian will follow that. The average faith person will follow that. Jesus knocks on Ed's door and tells him to do something that don't make sense. Don't you know I'm feeling terrible? Don't you know it's going to be miserable for me to get out of bed and go get ready for work? This is not fun. What common sense? See, because our common sense is what we've been trained in. That's common sense. Every society, every group has been trained in their common sense. And that is all natural things. Now, I learned this. I picked up over the years a spiritual common sense. It is different than natural. There are some things over natural. It's just good common sense to handle certain things a certain way. We can, unless God says something different. But there's many things over in the spirit. You've got to learn how, when something comes, you immediately follow that path and not do something from the natural standpoint and the way people do it naturally. This is why Jesus, they're wanting to throw rocks at him. Why? He's not following common sense of their religious beliefs. Their religious beliefs are carnal. They have been trained in carnality, and they follow carnality, believing it's God. This is how you do it. It doesn't make sense to follow. It doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense to spit. Now, I'm going to tell you what. If you'd have spit on any Pharisee, they heal them. Oh, you don't do that to a person. That's unclean. God will come and kick your little cleansing stuff right in the rear end. This is why people can't get healed. Because everything has to be done. This nice cleansing America. We got to wash every surface and spray it with something in case there's any bacteria. Oh, but we're believing God. Oh, yeah. Our food just got to be so perfect and so done. Why? Because our praying over it ain't worth spit. We don't believe it's going to be. No. We got our ways of washing, you know, it's just like, you know, that, you know, use a dishwasher because it cleanses your dishes better. Hand washing don't get rid of all the bacteria. And the people, the dishwashers are sick. And I'm not. Do whatever you want. Believe whatever you want. I ain't moving none of it.
Amen.
Boy, do we have common sense. But it comes back to faith. So I tell people, you walk in a restaurant, you better have faith. You don't know what goes on in that kitchen. You buy food at the store, you don't know what went on there. They found, you know, bacteria and this stuff. They found, you know, this in it, that in it. That's what you bought at the store. Hurry up and get it back. Sorry, we done ate it and I'm fine. Why? Hallelujah. Because the Lord blesses my bread and water and takes sickness from me. Hallelujah. I say it over my food all the time. You know what? I believe it.
Amen.
I ain't got time to be sick like everybody else. I don't have common sense. And it isn't. I don't have common sense. What I do is not common sense. It's Bible sense. See, this is why Jesus had to... See, the Pharisees and all them, they had made all these rules up. All these rules of how dishes had to be washed. This is how everything gets holy and taken care of. Man, I'm going to tell you, you're living in a dirty world with a dirty devil. You better know how to walk by faith or he's going to eat your lunch.
Amen.
This is just the way it is. Man, this is good preaching.
Yes, sir.
That ain't my notes, but it's good. We need to live in this place. We need to become fearless.
Amen.
Not afraid. Don't worry about what's going on. Don't be afraid. Devil comes knocking on your door. He might have 10 of his cousins with telling you you're going to die. You know, you need to look at Dora and say, what on earth are you talking about? You ain't got good sense. See, let me tell you about Bible sense. Amen. He'll say, I'll see you later on. I didn't want to hear that. No, we'll stop and say, are you sure? You think that'll happen to me? But the doctor said, see, he's common sense. And you know what? He's going to tell you what's natural. He's going to preach natural to you. You're going to have to weigh it. And people don't. People take what the doctor says. The Bible up here. Now, when I get feeling better, then I'll play this Bible thing and I want to get... Don't work like that. Don't work like that. I played that game already. I'm just going to tell you, it don't work. I've been there. I fought those battles. I should say lost those battles. We've lost a few of them and heard that stuff. Till I went back and said, hold it. I'm going to start this thing. Well, this time I'm getting in faith before I get into this thing. Hallelujah. I'm going to put weight on the word. I tell you, see, you can cast your care, all of your worry, all of your anxiety over on Him. He cares for you. See, when you're in those body, I'm going over to the Bible saying, Lord God, whatever it is, I'm just going to throw the weights on your side. Hallelujah. My God. Scales like this now. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm casting it on you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. This man is required to act. This is what I have found out over the years. The Lord trained me from the time as a young Christian about faith. The big thing He taught me was your actions. When you say you believe something, what do I do? God did what He does with this man. He's going to require of him to do something. Now, does it make sense to go down to the pool of Siloam? Now, He should have sent him to Bethesda, the pool of Bethesda. That's where the angel shows up, you know. If God had any sense, this guy must not be a prophet. Or He'd have sent me to Bethesda because that's the healing pool. Well, hey, that's common sense. That's religious common sense. This is what you do. He wouldn't have sent me that other pool. Hey, remember Naaman? Why would you send me over the dirty Jordan River? And the dirty Jordan River is a dirty river. It's a dirty river. He says, man, up in Assyria, we got all these clean rivers running. Why'd you send me up there to dip? You're going to dip me in a dirty river to get rid of leprosy? He didn't want to do it. So one of his servants said, hey, why don't you listen to the prophet? You know, he came down here and they told you, why don't you do this? We got this nice, sweet, clean Christianity. Yeah. You know, lay hands on me and have a catcher because I'm going to fall over whether it's God or not to make people think I got something. You can't preach this to most crowds.
Amen.
Oh, you can't. Most big convention preachers, you can't preach this in their convention. They'll put you out. You don't have to wait for the people to throw rocks. They'll haul you out. Brother Hagin said this. He said, we have catchers in our meetings because, he said, for insurance reasons. Because, says, people will fall whether it's God or not. He said, people are going to put on an act. And he said, you got to keep people from getting hurt. Because they'll sue you. God knocked them down and they'll sue you because you did. They'll say, God knocked me down, but you didn't catch me. Say, it's because God didn't knock you down, you fool. You did it to make people think you got something that you never got anyhow. You're as sick as you were when you were standing up there playing games. I've been healed many times and have never gotten knocked down getting healed. You don't have to get knocked down, but I've been knocked down. I've been knocked down in my house. No catcher. I've been knocked down. One time a ministry couple was at our place of that stuff, and the power of God came on me and knocked me flat on down on the floor, knocked me out. Laid there talking in tongues and got up and couldn't talk in English. Every time I thought I was talking in English. That's talking in tongues, but nobody knew what I was saying. I'm talking in tongues, and I think, well, I know what I'm saying. But it was coming out in tongues. See, why'd God do that? I don't know. They already knew I was crazy, so it wasn't about it, you know, they were trying to prove anything with them. But, you know, God does stuff. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, you know, it's a shame that we live in a Christian world that Christians aren't honest. See, don't fake it. Don't ever fake it.
Amen. Preach.
If a minister asks you if you felt the power of God go in you, if you don't tell the truth, say no. That don't mean nothing. I've had people get wonderful healings. I didn't feel a thing, and neither did they. They got healed. Like I say, the guy that got a metal rod disappeared out of his back. He didn't feel nothing, and neither did I. See, we so much want a feeling. No, I want a healing, not a feeling. We're more interested in the goosebumps.
Hallelujah.
I'll believe the goosebumps, but we aren't going to believe, you know. Hallelujah. If you get the healing, you'll sure will feel better, won't you? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I feel like God heard me. You know what? Sometimes I don't care. I can pray and I don't feel at all like God heard me. If I was thinking that my the words came out of my mouth and fell on the ground, but I always thought the Bible said this.
Amen.
If I call on Him, He hears me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I don't, you know, if it took a nice straight, you had to be loud enough and everything, God would have gave us microphones and an amplifier. He would have done that. You don't need that. He don't hear you because you're loud, you're quiet, you're whatever it is. We need to get over out of all the natural things, get over to faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God heard you. God required of this man. Jesus said, this is why, if you put scripture together, when Jesus said He didn't do anything, didn't see the Father do, the Father's directing Him in this concerning that man. The Father wants this man well, but this man's going to have to follow the road of faith. God's always going to, God's best for you every time is never for you to get healed or something happen to you through a gift of the Spirit. That is never His best. That's the lowest level. We have raised it in the church the highest. The highest level is for you to believe the Word yourself without anybody touching you. And that's the highest level. If you're not there, that's fine. We minister where we can and how we can to people where they are. The highest level is to believe just what the Word said and take it. That's why Jesus said to the centurion, I ain't found as great a faith. He never found anybody in Israel that would just believe the Word and act like it was so. This man is operating in the highest level of faith. See, God told me and taught me to stand on that level of faith. Why? He told me for this reason. So I can teach people about how to do it. The loads of ministers in crusades can't even teach on that level. All they know, they teach everybody by, you know, you just get your hands laid on you now. But see, the churches should be teaching it. We need to show people there's where they can reach the top of something. If you don't teach it, you can't go there. If you go to school and they don't teach algebra, it's a good chance you're not going to learn it. See, let's get that thinking there. If it's not taught, you can't get that. You have to have information to go there. Faith is identical. You can't reach a level of faith without being taught how to get there. You don't just know. Faith comes to you, but the level of faith is up to you. It's not up to God. It's up to you. How far are we going to study this thing? How far are we going to look? What do you want to look at? And see, this is, we don't need to show off, you know. It's just like where we can operate. Like when Wanda was having her heart surgery and she said, you know, she believes that she went through the surgery and that stuff, what she could believe to do. She got everything that she believed happened. Everything exactly like it happened. Well, where she could. But understand this, there's a higher level. It wasn't that she couldn't, that a person couldn't believe God not to have the operation. But you got to walk the level. As I told her, I said, where can you stand in this thing? We're going to go where you said. I don't care how much I wanted to, you want not to do something. I don't care if you don't want to go to the doctor. If you can't get it fixed without him, you better go there. Quit playing faith games.
Amen.
But you don't stay at that level all the time. If you think you're just going to all the time stay there and everything. So I learned this, Kenneth Hagin, first time I heard he say it, I didn't know what it meant, but it seemed a little troublesome because he said some people, he said, will die because they don't go to the doctor. And he said, some are going to die because they do. God's going to always move people. And when people refuse to move in the areas of faith, This is what happens. They can only get what the doctor can give them. And maybe he can't give them enough. This is why you want to develop your faith, because you might run into the devil who has offered something to you that's greater than what anybody else can fix naturally. You better know how to get a hold of heaven. You better know how to walk by faith. Because if you want more than what can be given in the natural, you're going to need faith to do that. So we always go to the areas of faith. This is not criticism. This guy here, he says, go down to the pool, wash your eyes. He has to do that. Now, he could have, you know, said, well, you know, I'll go down there. I can wash water right over here at this house. You know, we're right by here, we're right here at the temple. We're water here. Why do I have to go down there to Siloam, you know? Why do I have to do that? Why? Because the man that's ministering to you said it. Amen. You need to understand this. Don't go to people that pray for you if you ain't going to listen.
Amen. Preach.
One thing I've learned about Jesus and ministering people, he is always trying to get people to move in the areas of faith, so he's talking to them. We do too much praying with people, praying for people without talking to them. Because why? Because if you talk to them, you might, you know, they may not want to hear it. They may not want. And see, you know, we want everybody to feel good. We don't want any persecution. We don't want the rocks. Oh, no, if I say that, they might get upset. You know, pray for me. Why? What do you believe? Do you believe anything's going to happen? Why pray? Is this going to be a waste of time or what's going to be? What do you think's going to happen? Well, ask the person. What do you think is going to happen if I pray for you?
Amen.
They might say, hey, well, I hope God will hit me. You need to be honest with God. And says, he's not. Mm-hmm. That isn't the way it works. Amen. But I can tell you how it'll work and we can get something. Amen. I can tell you what to do.
Hallelujah.
Now, we don't do that. We just go right over. I'm going to pray my will right into their lives without them. If Jesus couldn't do it, neither could you.
Amen.
This is good preaching because the average spirit-filled person tries to do what Jesus couldn't do. Hallelujah! See, that's why we're preaching these things. We need to come back to this. We talk about doing the ministry of Jesus. Well, how did he do it? See, that's why we need to look at these things. We need to go through these things and study these things. How did he minister to people? What did he do? He talked to people. He sees this guy. God wants this guy well, but he wants this man to operate in faith. Now that this guy operates in faith, this man knows how to walk by faith. He knows how to do things by faith now. Well, now he's pleasing to God. When you're trying to be the faith master over other people, you didn't teach them a thing. They don't please God at all. And you're not pleasing him by turning around and trying to be God over them. That's not what we're trying to do. Our whole effort is to please God. And so that person can continue to please God.
Amen.
Can walk by faith. That's what we want to do. We want to teach people so they can get a hold of faith and they can walk. That's what we want to do to these people.
Hallelujah.
We're blessing them. Helping them.
Amen.
So we always want to be encouraging. It's like with people. Brother Hagin, I heard him say this time and time again where people want healing and he wouldn't pray for their healing. He told them, I can't pray for that which you want. But he would pray that God would begin to move and speak to that person's heart and open and bring light to them. Mm-hmm. He'd quote a scripture to them. Now, he did this numbers of times. I've heard Brother Hagin say this. He would tell a person a scripture. And the person, you know, didn't understand. He would pray, you know, Lord, that person, when they lay down to sleep at night, I pray that scripture just keeps speaking to them all night long. That when they wake up in the morning, that scripture's on their mind. He had time and time again where people came to him and say, you know, I just couldn't use that scripture. Just stayed on me. And see, the word brings faith, not you. The word.
Amen.
And he said, time and time I'd have a person come. That scripture. They were ready to act in faith now. That scripture kept speaking. They were ready to believe it.
Hallelujah.
Faith don't come by praying. See, as we get over that individual, maybe you're in trouble reason. Pray for him. Ask God. You know, you don't have to say, you know, John 3:16. You know, just make a quote, something from the scripture. Just say it to them, those words, and say, God, Now you take those words and you speak those words to that individual's heart. Do you think he wouldn't hear you? He wouldn't want to do that? See, keep bringing that to his remembrance. See, we believe in the power of the devil. Oh my God, we worship that. Are angels more powerful than the devil? It's like I taught from the book of Revelation. It didn't take 10 angels. It didn't take a special big angel to come down and put a chain on the devil and lock him up. It just says an angel came. We don't believe in divine influence, even angelic influence. We don't believe on it. We don't ask for it. We don't even ask for angelic influence. But we believe the devil's around the influence. There's more angels than there are devils. There's twice as many angels according to scriptures than there are fallen angels. What do you think? There's only 10 of them in the earth? Hebrews, ministering spirits sent forth to minister for the heirs of salvation. For us, not to us. I don't need an angel to minister to me. Hallelujah. Glory to God, I got the Holy Ghost. God might send an angel to say, but they're ministering to sent forth to minister for us. Amen. They're to bring influences. They're to do things. Hallelujah. For us. See, we need to pray for people and say, hey, you know, God, influence. Say, well, I pray concerning our government. I ask, God, bring angelic influence on this, on our Congress. Well, we know the devil's down there. But we ain't calling for influence. God, make so-and-so. God, do this. God, you know, kill him if he don't straighten out. God, do that. You know, God, this. God, that. Say, Lord, do this for me. Send my angels down there and start influencing them. Send angels down there, bring their influence. And I always tell God, my angels' influence is going to be greater than the devil's. See, we need to get this idea about we have our ideas about the spirit realm, but not according to Scripture. You know, we pray, angel, go before me and make my, you know, protect me and this and that and the other thing. Actually, I don't really pray ever, hardly ever do that. I don't, in all my years, I've hardly ever prayed that thing like that around there. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of other things I do send angels out because I want influence. Things need to be influenced. There needs to be influence around on things. You know, I'm a minister and he would tell me all the time, his traveling minister would tell me all the time about him praying, you know, angels go out for him and all this kind of stuff. And that guy was more accidents a little bit. I'll tell you, he was wrecking all the time. He wrecked more cars and demolished them and did darn things and that, you know. But you know what? He didn't do sense half the time in the right thing. And just, you can't use angels to just protect you from all your stupid not making right decisions. You can't drive down the road 95 miles an hour. God's got to take everything care of me. I'm a, you know, I can just be nuttier than a fruitcake. But you know, God's got the angels go, let's watch him wreck. See, I want to see this accident at this speed. This is going to be something. You know what? I'll tell you what. I bet God protected this man for a long time. Because some of the dumb things that he did, it's amazing he was alive as long as he was. You can't be a fool. You know, my words. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So this man followed the will of God, and in following the will of God, he was healed. In following the will of God, he was healed. And you need to see, it's a powerful thing. He did it. Jesus ministered to him. Jesus did for him. When did his healing start? His healing didn't start at the pool. His healing started when Jesus anointed him. His healing started the completion of his healing. I've had people dealing with that. They start off, they get their initial healing, but they won't walk in the light from that, and so it never gets consummated. The healing never shows up.
Amen. Preach.
See, many times people ask people to pray for them, and they write, they pray the prayer of faith, everything. But the person leaves and doesn't walk in the light of what was prayed.
Amen.
And the healing's never consummated. They never walk in the light that they receive something. They don't walk, even if they do for a time. I don't remember if Todd Levin, he used to do the things of giving out a card for people, and he'd write on there with the person's name. And then, you know, on the date, the time that you were healed. And he said, you need to carry this and confess this all the time, that you were healed this night.
Amen.
And I found this out. Most people never did that. They never paid any attention. They take a card from him, pay no attention to what he said. And most of them never received their healing. It was never consummated. He would do that for that purpose. You keep saying the right thing. Well, I'm believing for healing. Well, I thought you got it that night.
Amen.
What are you believing for it? You were supposed to walk around and say, he'd say, put it on your refrigerator, put somewhere you see it, and you make a confession every day about that. Praise God, this time and this date, I received my healing. I got it. No, I'm believing for it. Down the road, and it never comes. It never comes. It's always this, I'm believing for it. Keep heading down the road, heading down the road. Their actions do not correspond to what took place. They never believe. They might, you know, I believe many people at the time that it happened, they believed that was so. But their common sense and their feelings followed after that in, well, not changing. So why? I quit believing what's right because I'm following common sense. No, spiritual common sense. I have what I can neither see nor feel. That's faith is such as things hoped for. The evidence of what is not seen.
Hallelujah.
If you have to have a feeling of some sort to believe you got it, that's not faith. That is not faith.
Amen.
Faith is believing you have something. See, that's why faith ain't common sense. This is why people have a hard time receiving it. Because they're talking, well, I must not have got the money because my bank account still looks the same. it must not have worked. Hey, I believe when I put that money in the offering plate, I believe I received. And the bank account didn't go up yesterday. Well, I got the money. Hallelujah. God gave it to me.
Amen.
God gave it to me. Hallelujah. Now what is it? Jesus said he'll have whatever he says. He'll have. Who brings it to pass? Not me. God does. It's not up to me. I'm not bringing it to pass. All my job is to believe I got it. That's my job.
Amen.
My job is not to believe in the manifestation. I believe I got it when I pray. That's what I'm supposed to believe. And God brings it to pass. I'm glad that's his job because I've never done well at doing that. I've never been good at playing God. How's playing God turned out for you? How's it worked out for you trying to do God's part? Has it worked out good for you? No, it never does. But yet, common sense tells you, I got to do something. Instead of do something and acting in line with faith, which is good faith sense, we always move to common sense. Which common sense deals with your flesh and the knowledge of things around you and the way you've been taught in the natural. That's common sense. That's what's wrong with America. We keep following common sense.
Preach.
And people can say, people don't have common sense. Common sense ain't going to change America. I've learned that a long time ago. Just get that in yourself. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we're going to go on in this chapter because there's some wonderful things here that are taught from this chapter that will help you understand God. Also, the people in the ministry at the time, because you're dealing in the same kind of, you're dealing with people today. You're dealing with religious people and dealing with their stuff. You're dealing with people and their religious ideas and things. We're dealing with these things. But what do we do? Where do we walk? What do we do? Well, if we're going to follow the ministry of Jesus, it's important, and especially concerning this man. One of the things that I learned from Kenneth E. Hagin, and I found it out true over the years, is this. That moves of God do not necessarily draw a lot of people. Do you ever think about it? We've had moves of God in this nation, and we talk about it because, you know, people, a lot of people show up. You know, they say like, you know, there were 10,000 people showed up at a meeting here or there. That's nothing concerning the population of the United States. That's a nothing. That doesn't mean much. That's a nothing. And we have here a move of God, there a move, and these different things, and people need, hey, I love to see any of it. I don't care if two people show up and God moves. That's exciting. But we need to understand it. Jesus' ministry. Were they excited? How many times he got in trouble because he moved? Because God moved. Don't think a miracle is going to draw somebody.
Amen. Preach.
Don't you ever think that. See, people have an idea. This is one of the great fallacies. We have a move of God here in America that's going to turn everything around. No, it's not. It ain't gonna get over. It ain't. There's a lot of people ain't gonna turn one iota. You can show them a miracle. There are Christians you can show a miracle and they won't turn. They still ain't gonna believe in the power of God. I know it. I lived through this stuff. I've already seen it take place. I've seen people healed and delivered, and I watched Christians get upset about it.
Preach.
See, we need to come down this thing. You know, men are, whether people are moved by things or not, they're not. But see, we get over in this thing, we set ourselves up for failure on things and disappointments. Instead of, God's called us to preach it. I'm not the outcome man. I don't determine. God talks to people and they move or don't move. That's, I can't change that. That's not me. And you need to come to that thing too. We're praying for a move of God. We want a move of God. God speaks. God moves because God's going to speak. People will have to come to hear and be healed. If people don't come and they don't want to be healed, they don't want, well, that's up to them. All we do is, our part is not to heal them. I can't. I give them opportunity. I can minister to them if they want to. It's just like with you. You can't fix people. Hallelujah. I've learned that. Man, I got my hands full on Ed. You know? But people, they're trying to be the fixer. That's not. We're the preachers of the God. We tell people the good news. We offer them God and the blessing of God, and we point them the way to get it. But it is up to them to make the choice. It's sort of like this. I heard a guy teaching. And this is really good because, now he wasn't spirit-filled, but he has a real, concerning the temple of God. And he's talked about how the temple was done with the inside of the temple, the way it was set up. But you came out to a porch on the front of the temple, and there was two columns there, brass columns. And really, those brass columns, they were brass. You know, everything in the temple was gold, and everything outside is brass. And brass is a representation of the flesh. The flesh and the will of man is on the outside. See, we're the temple of God. People see, look at it and say, well, because God's living inside us. But you need to understand, we're just like the other temple. You got the flesh on the outside. You got the outer court. And boy, this is where most Christians want to live, in the outer court. But you know, when you got up that porch, those columns represented this. This was the idea. When you step beyond there, this is about your decision. Are you going to go through? Are you going to go through to follow the will of God? This is where our will comes into place. And you need to understand, we still deal with that today. We're trying to turn around, and what we do is we offer the gospel to men, and we preach the gospel, and they have to make a choice of their will. Now, we got to make sure we're telling the truth, not telling a bunch of junk. Amen. Telling them the truth so they can decide on their will if they want to enter the temple, if they want to come in, if they want to go to the presence of God, if they want to do that. And we offer. It's just like with me. I have to mind my own will. I have to decide, am I going to go past the veil of the flesh to live out of the inner man and go to the inside? The average Christian never goes further than the flesh. They live on the outside all the time. They're born again, may be nice people, but generally they live on the outside. They never set their will to cross the threshold because there's something about you do that. There's a required. When you step across that goal, you can't be you on the outside anymore. That's a hard thing. Seeker-friendly church. It's all outside. You live in the flesh. You get saved, you live in the flesh and you stay in the flesh and say, God is in me. But you don't ever go visit Him, because to go visit Him requires you to change and to be something else. Requires something of us. Now, this is a guy teaching. Now, he wasn't spirit-filled. I said, man, that's a good message. I said, that's a wonderful thing. Hallelujah. But see, there's a way of living today. We're preaching in the outside. Today, the message is all outside. The message ain't, you can go in. No, you can live for Jesus on the outside. You can just get this thing and working on the outside. No, you can't. It's about getting on the inside.
Amen.
See, we live out of the inner man. God is in you. He ain't in your flesh.
Amen.
He's in your spirit. He's communing with your spirit. You can get born again and never know God. Just from the standpoint, I'm saved. I'm a child of God. But live out in that shallow place. We can go there. See, people, because there's one thing about it. The draw of the flesh is big, folks.
Amen. Preach.
Especially, we're living in the entertainment society. We're living in the flesh society. There's nothing spiritual about our phones. People, we have this stuff and it can be used for good. Well, I'll tell you what. The people you say can really be used for good spend a lot more time with it than they should. It can be used for good, but 90% of the time it's not. And if you can't face that, you're flesh and you're living outside the temple. See, we're in a society of ease and comfort. You know what we're teaching our kids back here now? They're reading them books about missionaries, about what people went through years ago to take the gospel. It's not the comfort church. Wow, the kids are hearing that. I don't want them to know the comfort gospel that has been laid out to this generation. People sacrificed to take the gospel. Men and women. Women went into places of this earth during time periods. I mean, to go as a woman, you better have heard from heaven. And they went to places and went through hell to carry the gospel. Change nations. Not out of comfort. And you know what? The kids love the stories. They love to hear how God, they see that, and the books tell you the difficult time, the things they went through. But the move of God, they stayed on course what God would do for them. Miracles that the church here in America will never see till we decide. We're coming out of the flesh, we're going to enter the temple.
Amen.
Kenneth Hagin said, years ago I heard him say it. I know what he means now. He said, we knew moves of God, he said, in years past. He said, these generations today don't know these moves. They've never experienced it. And if they don't change, they won't.
Amen.
Why? We're going to have to leave the flesh. We're going to have to leave the outer court. See, we thought just teaching was the outer court thing. No, the teaching in the outer court is to get the people to go in. All we have is outer court ministry today. If you ain't going any good, don't bother going to the inner court. Stay home. Well, in a sense, why? Why spend the time? Why listen to what gets you there and not respond to it?
Amen. Preach.
See, I thank God for all the ministers that took the time to minister to me in that outer court.
Amen.
And taught me how to get... Where I walked up one day to those two brass pillars and I said, I'm making a decision today. I'm on the porch and I ain't staying on the porch.
Amen.
I'm going in there. Hallelujah. I'm going in that place. But you know what? I wouldn't have went in there if they had taught like a lot of teaching is today. Because you know what? There ain't enough teaching makes it seem worthwhile to go in there. But the glory that is in you today. Stand to your feet. The glory that's in you today. Right now, in you today. In you. The glory that's in you. Glory to God. I mean, hallelujah. What God has made you, you're born again. You have God's very own nature. See, but if you stay on the outside, you never see that. You never run it. You're just like everybody else. People say, well, you know, we're just like, I heard ministers say that. I'm just like everybody else. Well, I sure ain't.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't learn that. You find out when you go inside there. Oh my God, you go inside there, in that place of the Spirit. See, that's where to go. See, the Lord's been teaching me about the end times. He said, if you want to know about the end times, you've got to know the Spirit. He said, they keep teaching about signs and physical stuff. And he said, it's not leading people to where I want them to go. My people need to come to the Spirit. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. See, His people, the Spirit. Just think about you today. Hallelujah. God, your spirit's been made like God. You're back. You're better off than Adam was.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
You're better off than Adam. You've been born of God. See, Adam sinned, he was done. All he could get from there is he kept having to kill some animals to get some blood. That's where he went to there. You and I don't have that. We had an offering made for you and I, and our new birth's the most phenomenal thing that ever happened. People in the past, Abraham looked to the future to see this thing. That's why you can sacrifice your kid. You can sacrifice your whole life and everything else when you can see the glory of the future.
Amen.
But if you stay out in the court and the outside, all you do is wait to hear the next book that somebody wrote to tell you what things are going to look like. And when they tell you, you don't understand it much anyhow. Even if they told you the truth. I'm serious. Why? It's inside that court. When you walk into that man that you really are. Oh, the glory that you really are. You're not going to be. You are today. You are not going to be. Years ago, the Lord said to me, my people keep asking me for what I already gave them. He said, and he said this to me, why do they do that? I thought, he knows, he just wants me to join in on the song. People do it for two reasons. They either are not taught or they refuse to listen to what they taught.
Amen.
See, the glory that's in you. We're cheap trying to get glory. Believe in the glory. I don't care how you feel today. I don't care if you feel like you're under the barrel. I don't care if you feel how you. That has nothing. The glory that's in you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
The glory that's in you today. You've been designed by God to be a person to walk by faith.
Amen.
Don't ever talk. Well, I just have trouble believing God. What do you mean by that? You're God's kid. Why would you have trouble believing? I'd have trouble believing my dad. Now, my natural dad. You know what? I know this. My natural dad never intended to lie to me. And God? Are we going to accuse him? We say, well, yeah, God, you know, boy, he's always true. He's always right. Well, do we believe him like he's always true? He's always right. Hallelujah. See, it doesn't matter how you feel. Hallelujah. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living inside of you today.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, Paul wrote to the church at Rome and said, that Spirit that's in you is making alive your mortal body. See, what could you speak about concerning health? Why couldn't you speak? Hallelujah, my body's getting well. See, I never pray about health, never pray about healing. I don't ever pray about it. I say it. I just say what the Word says. When something comes knocking my door, I say, I'm sorry, I'm not taking that, I'm healed. I'm not trying to get healed, I am healed. Do you know that that's the highest level of faith? That's the highest level. Well, he said, I'm curious, meditate and confess in the fact that the same Spirit raised Jesus and that is living in you and He's making your flesh alive. Say that if you need to a million times till you believe it. You will never act on it till you believe it. You'll never act like it's true. You may have to say, how many times you have to say it, I don't know, but you say it, do it a lot. Say it about yourself. That same Spirit's living in me. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is inside of me. This is His job. That's His job. Oh, is He lazy? Is He in bed today maybe and he's not doing that? You know, sometimes He does and sometimes He don't. You never know. Whatever God wills. Well, I done read the will and it says He's in me. Amen. Making alive my mortal body. My mortal body is being made alive by the power of God.
Hallelujah.
You know, the next time you see a DNA article, rip it up and throw it away. DNA is not about you. It's about your flesh. I don't care how screwed up your DNA is. It has nothing to do with the power of God working in you. It ain't got a thing in the world to do with it. It's physical. That's why they say, well, we have, an ape has 90% of our DNA. Well, are the apes doing what? Well, maybe they are. Doing what? Do apes have hospitals? That 10% of even in our body is so darn different. I was reading a guy who talked about DNA, and he said all this DNA stuff, he's a specialist. He's one of the world's top guy. He said 1% difference in DNA, he said, is such an enormous difference. He said, you can't imagine. 1%. And you know what all these people do? We love the animals and everything. The animals got to save the animals. They have 90% of what we do, trying to equate us to them. See, that's why if you don't get into school, you don't have to go to the temple, you're a knucklehead. Because you're going to live out there where they're going to make you feel like a dog. And they'll put a sticker on you that has, I love my pooch or something. You know, one side of the car has, I love Jesus. And on the other side, I love my shih tzu or whatever there. See, can you imagine people read that, equating love to Jesus to their dog? I'd be ashamed. We use the word love so loosely that I'll tell you what, it's a meaningless, worthless thing in our society. We got to come up with a different way of teaching in the church world to equate to people. Loving God and loving whatever else you say you love ain't even close, and it should never be even close in the ballpark. If God don't come first, then therefore your love and whatever is your God.
Amen. Preach.
Woo, run, get the rocks out for it. I'll tell you what.
Great preacher.
Well, see, we need to know, because we have fallen for these things instead of the life of God working in me. Mm-hmm. We have fallen for this DNA stuff. Yeah. People live out the lives of what they are. We become perverts because perverted spirits. It ain't the flesh. It's the spirit operating through the flesh because they're yielded to demons. Well, I got this DNA problem, so I'm a this. No, you what? You got a DNA problem? No. You got a problem that the devil is dominating and ruling your life. That's your problem.
Amen.
And your actions are out of your spirit on the inside, which you've allowed to dominate. Let's let ours on the inside. How do you, where the Spirit of God's in you. Glory to God. Let's become different. Let's just become, let's become so changed. Hallelujah. The world needs to see glory. They don't need to, hear me to hear the stories, you know. I heard this nincompoop, people listen to these guys on these conservative shows. I remember one day and he's on the radio and I turn the radio on because I come on, some of that radio comes on because I have an MP3 player. Sometimes when I turn the radio on, instead it shifts over right to the radio. And he said this. He said, I watch CNN and all this stuff for you so you don't have to watch them and I can tell you what they say. Hey, one of the biggest watch shows on, these people, they're nuts. I said, the whole reason I don't watch them, I know what they're going to say. I don't want to hear it. Why would I pay you, moron, to tell me what I don't want to spend my day listening to and listen to you gripe and moan and want to get me mad and thinking like that? And telling us how good they're doing and we're conservative. Conservative, you're insane. Why would you spend your life listening to people that you know are wrong? What? That's like me. I'm going to read a Satanist book tonight. I'm going to educate myself. And I'll come back. You guys don't have to read it. I'll tell you what they say. Okay, guys? I'll tell you. This is going to help me a lot. Well, I'll get educated, but you don't have to read the book. We're living in an insane world. And people call themselves Christians, call those shows. They're listening to this stuff all the time. All the time. All the time. I got an MP3 player. I listen all the time. Because, man, I need to hear. I need to hear. I need to hear what's true. I need to hear what's right. It's the only way to win the battle. It's the only way to fight the fight. It's the only way to do it. It's the only way. Hallelujah. We're in a world that is so messed up. There's so much sickness and disease. I listen to health all the time. I listen to teaching concerning health and healing. I listen to those things. I listen to things that speak concerning the things of blessing in life. Walking. I listen to those over and over. It's easy to listen to the other stuff. I already know what it is. I don't have to listen to somebody else say it.
Amen. Preach.
You know? Why would I turn on a guy? I mean, I could find out for that stuff myself. I mean, you know, I don't need somebody preaching what is already out here. I don't need to send money for a guy and help him out for what is free. It's like, what are we doing that for? Hallelujah. Praise God. So let's sit ourselves today and decide. I'll tell you. What is my spiritual diet going to be? See, I'm a person on the inside. I've been designed by God. You've been designed by God to be in the temple. That's what you've been designed for. That's your place. Your place. Jesus saved us from the outer court. Jesus delivered man from the life of the flesh. Jesus did that. Let's go out there and say, hey, I'm going in. I'm going to live out of the inside. This is what I'm living out of the inside. I'm living from there. Yes, look. A good confession for you. I want to read you something, Paul. This is something I remember years and years ago that the Lord quickened something to me, and it was just it was when I saw it, because people make confessions about things and say things. I'm going to read this to you. Just now, this is a scripture, and this is get this in yourself. This is what God is saying. This was written by the Apostle Paul to believers. Why? Because the church at Rome had some problems, and he's getting them on track. Now, we always go about Romans 8, and people quote certain things, but listen to this, Romans 8 chapter. I'm just going to start here at verse 7. It says, because the carnal mind is enmity or is an enemy of God. It's an enemy against God. A carnal way of thinking. In other words, you could say good common sense thinking. If it's not in line with God, it's carnal. Right. It's fleshly thinking.
Amen.
It's an enemy of God. Now, that don't mean we don't ever do nothing natural thing. But when we come over to deal in the areas, we can't deal with spiritual things with natural ways and natural ways of thought. Can't do that. Now, he says, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. A law, a person who's just thinking common, what we call common sense of that all the time, and trying to do that thing, their mind will never get in line. It can never get in line to fulfill the law of God. It can't do it. You can't walk in the law of love thinking the common. You know, thinking about out here, I'm following common sense. Now listen, I love this cause. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. The people who stay on the outer court cannot please God. They can't do it. A Christian who is the outer court liver, he can't please God. Why? Because his mind will stay unrenewed. You renew your mind on the inside.
Amen.
That's the place where the Spirit's at. That's the place. Now, listen to this. I love this. This is what he said to those people. And you need to get this. It's God speaking to you. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. It says to you, you are in the Spirit. You need to confess that you're in the Spirit. I'm in the Spirit. Thank God. We're in the Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit of Christ is in us.
Amen.
See, I started confessing that. See, I found this out. When I was living over in the fleshly side pretty much, and I'm in the Spirit. Praise God. I'm in the Spirit because the Spirit of Christ is in me. I'm in the Spirit. I'm in the Spirit. Well, see, I started confessing where I wanted to be, not where I was at.
Amen.
I started confessing where I wanted to be. I wanted to walk in that place. I wanted to walk in that place of the Spirit. So, God said, I'd take this to the Lord. I'd go to the Lord and say, Lord, this is in your word. You said in your word, I'm in the Spirit, so I must be.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank God. I must be in the Spirit because you said so. So if you said so, I can say that and I ain't lying at all. And you know what would come to me? You're lying. You've been living in the flesh. See, that's what's common sense. Common sense will bring up your faults. Common sense will bring up you unworthy thing. It'll help the devil throw you under the bus. No, God said you're in the Spirit and not in the flesh.
Amen.
Cause Christ's in you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Confess to where you want to go. Confess where you're heading for. Confess your destiny instead of your past. Hallelujah. Now look what the next scripture says. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Meditate on those scriptures. You get so darn happy. You do run around the house 6 or 7 times and jump and shout and say, glory to God. And your final words, I'm spiritual. I ain't carnal.
Amen.
That's who I am.
Amen.
That's what I am.
Amen.
Get those things in you. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you for the life that's in the Word. Lord God, we're people of faith. You declare us that. We're called believers, so we must be people of faith. Hallelujah. Lord God, we believe your word. We're not doubters. We aren't skeptics. Hallelujah. We believe the word of God is true. And Lord God, we can believe it and act on it. Hallelujah. And we receive the blessing. Hallelujah. We're blessed. Hallelujah. We're redeemed from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. We're not going to live under the curse. We're not going to allow it to dominate and rule us. Hallelujah. And you've given us the ability to help others get out from under the curse. How to help get out of... Lord God, you've given us wonderful words to speak and to preach to people and to say to people, hallelujah, to put into people's heart, Lord God, that transforms lives. Lord, I thank you. The word is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide soul and spirit, joint and marrow. Hallelujah. I thank you. Lord, the word of God, there's nothing more powerful. It revolutionizes and changes lives. We know we can testify personally to it of what we were and what we've become. Hallelujah. That man couldn't do nothing. Psychology couldn't do it. Common sense couldn't fix it. Hallelujah. But the word of God believed, hallelujah, has revolutionized and changed our lives. And I thank you, Father God, we started on this path and we ain't leaving it. Hallelujah. Lord God, we ain't gonna live on the outer court. We ain't living on the outer court. Lord, we'll help all the believers that have been living on the outer court to get in the inner court. We'll stand at the door and shout, say, come on in here. This is the place. This is the way to walk. Hallelujah. This is the way of the Spirit. This is the way of the glory. Come to the glory that's in you. Join together with the glory. Hallelujah. Don't live on the outside. Hallelujah. Walk on the inside. Father, I thank you. Hallelujah. Father God, Father, you're going to turn some things upside down. Lord, there's a shaking coming, and I know this. Men don't like shakings, but Lord God, there needs to be a great shaking. Hallelujah. Oh, men like everything keeping calm and quiet. But Lord God, there's a great shaking coming. Lord God, we're a people made for the shaking. We're designed for the shaking. We're designed for this thing. We've been made for it by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Lord God, a people, hallelujah, full of the Holy Ghost, Lord God, walking boldly in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, let them bring out their rocks. Hallelujah. We'll throw the Holy Spirit at them. We'll throw the Word of God. Hallelujah. Lord God, men will be transformed and changed by the glory of God. Hallelujah. And Lord God, we set ourselves to walk from glory to glory. Hallelujah. We're not going to stay stationary. Hallelujah. We're climbing up. Hallelujah. Going higher and higher. Hallelujah. We're going higher. We're going deeper into the glory. Hallelujah. Lord God, Lord, we're going to bypass. We're going to go past the place, Lord God, that first place of ministry in the town. We're going right over to the holies of holies. We're going to live in that place. We're going to go, hallelujah, come boldly to the throne of grace. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're coming in, Lord God. We're not trying to get cleaned up. We've been cleaned up. Hallelujah. Lord God, by the power of God in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for your glory that is working mightily in us. And Lord God, the good work that you started in us, you're bringing it to completion. You are bringing it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Till Jesus comes, we're stepping up higher and higher and higher. Till that glory, we will step across. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 You know, there's something that I've seen concerning with the Old Testament. You know, for the high priest to go into that holies of holies with the blood, for him to do that, was a very, very difficult thing, because they had to go through these special cleansings and all that they had to do. Everything had to be done perfectly to get in there to do that. Everything had to be, that priest had to be right in his attitudes and everything. To go in there and do that was a hard, difficult task. But you know what? We didn't have to. Jesus went and did that for us. You and I are not trying to get cleaned up to get in there. Jesus Christ, He went through the difficult test. He went through a task that the high priest never had. The high priest in earth, even though it was a difficult thing, was nothing compared to the difficulty. And the difficulty, you need to understand it. If it took great difficulty for Him to go and do what He did, Jesus, then the glory must be much greater than the difficulty. You don't do something very difficult for something less. You don't do that. See, there was a greater glory. You need to understand the glory that Jesus won for you and I, preparing to do what He did so He could enter the holies and the holies of heaven with His blood, prepared, gave us a glory that is so much greater and far beyond what any man could comprehend. Amen. And that glory's in you.
Hallelujah. Whew. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you. You entered it just through faith. Mm-hmm. That glory. Through faith. See, we need to meditate on these things of the greatness of the glory, what's already in us. Quit asking God for more glory when you're full of glory. Amen. Quit trying to get what you got. God can pour things out on us when we start acting like we have what we got.
Yeah.
It's like you told me years ago, why do my people get asking for what they have? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Full of glory. full of glory. I tell you, get a smile on your face. Be happy. Hallelujah. You're full of glory. It doesn't matter your earthly position, what people think. Who are you living this for? For His glory? Or whose? Hallelujah. People may never like you for it, but it don't matter. Who are we living for? I'm living for Him. Glory to God. It don't matter people doing, picking up their rocks. It don't matter. It's like Stephen, you know, said, God forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Hallelujah. Wow. We're just walking over here in His glory. Say, Lord, I ain't going back out there to that outer court. Not to keep them happy. We ain't going there. We ain't going to the outer court trying to keep them happy. You either come in. We ain't coming out. I've been there. Glory to God.